back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20.
Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds?
Yes. Manningham on the sideline.
Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And a good Monday morning to you all out there in Giants Nation. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance Meadow with you for the next half hour here on Giants.com. We are taking your phone calls. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We will have a very special guest on today's program. Giants corner Corey Webster will be joining us in a little bit, and we will be taking your questions both on Twitter and via the phone. So stay tuned for that, as this is the start of the Giants offseason workout program today. A lot of the players are back in the mix as they start to prepare for the 2013 campaign. The NFL draft will kick off next week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with Thursday being the first round, Friday rounds 2 and 3 and 4 through 7 on Saturday. So the Giants are ranking their players and getting things all aligned to determine where they want to go with that 19th overall pick. So you could tell the excitement starting to build around the Giants facility, because that means as we get closer to the draft, free agency is closing down, that's slowing down, and we're inching our way towards the start of a new campaign, which is certainly a positive thing for the team as well as the fans. And we certainly want to break that down over the next half hour with you here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. And John Schmelk joins me as well this morning. We have multiple guests as we are getting everybody all pumped up for the start of the off-season workout program. John,
what's up, Meadow?
How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. It's good to see you.
A long time no see.
Guys are in there working out, lifting some weights. Good times.
And they should.
Well, yeah, you know, everyone likes seeing each other for the first time. Guys see where the lockers are. A lot of these guys that the Giants have played on the field, think about it. You have the guys like Colin Jenkins, Mike Patterson, Dan Connor, guys that the Giants have gone up against before, so they know them from playing them on the field, but they might not know them as teammates. So these guys are all getting to know each other for the first time. It was always a lot of fun having the guys back in the building, and the place has a different energy when that happens. You know what I mean? It's last 3 months, I could do without it. It's good to have the guys back in the building and get things going again.
And also with the draft on the horizon, too, there's going to be some new youngsters that they'll soon welcome into the team. So there is going to be a lot of movement over the next couple of weeks.
Tell you what, didn't recognize a lot of those faces walking the doors this morning.
Well, the roster has changed over a bit with free agency and losing a lot of players to other teams.
And adding a lot of guys on those futures contracts, too, and, you know, that are going to compete for spots in the OTAs, training camp, and minicamp. So it'll be interesting. But a lot of new faces, a lot of guys that I don't recognize. And, I talked about this all offseason once. I think it's a good thing that you're changing the character of that locker room a little bit. For a team the last 4 years that's really been inconsistent, has won basically 9 games a year, give or take, I think it's good to get some new blood in there and try to get a little bit of a different feel in that locker room.
And also veteran presence, which I think is key for this Giants team, specifically at the linebacker spot, which you just alluded to, Dan Connor, they bring over from the Cowboys. That is a position that they're certainly looking to improve on. And even a guy like Lewis Murphy, who can, you know, make himself known as that third receiver, giving some competition to Reuben Randall, has that speed factor. These are guys that have been in the league. Brandon Myers, too, had a breakout campaign last year. It's not as if they're just infusing a bunch of rookies into the mix. They're infusing players who have the experience and fill needs. And there were multiple needs on this team heading into the offseason.
And guys in their prime, these are young veterans. They're not guys that are 34, 35. They're 28, 29 years old. They're still in the prime of their career. And they can contribute and be effective right now.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's open up the phone lines here on the program, Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. We start with Chris in the Bronx. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I'm a big fan of the show.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. What you got?
All right. My question's for Corey Webster.
Well, we haven't got a Corey on the program just yet, but you could chat with John and I, and we will certainly pass the question along to Corey Webster when he does join us a bit later on. But what you got, Chris?
All right. Well, your outlook for this year with the whole NFC East and Chip Kelly bringing with the Eagles coming in, how do you feel like it's going to show up this year?
Well, in terms of what Chip Kelly, the challenges that you think the Eagles are going to present to the Giants, is that what you mean by that?
Yes, sir.
Well, Chip Kelly's offense right now is in an experimental phase.
Who's the quarterback? Look, you can talk about whatever you want. You know, how's the offense going to the NFL? That's all great. I don't care what offense you run. If you don't have a quarterback that can throw the football and run it and do whatever else Chip Kelly wants him to do, I don't think his quarterback's going to run nearly as much on the NFL level as he did at the college level. But look, he's going to have to figure out somebody to do this, whether it's Foles or Vic is going to do it. They'll figure it out, but they're going to have to find the quarterback if Chip Kelly's going to want to run a system in the NFL. It's that simple.
And even though Chip Kelly's known for his offense, the other question with regard to the Eagles is the defense. Remember, they gave up a lot of yardage on the ground. They had trouble with their secondary. They've made some changes. Nnamdi Asamoah's not there. Neither is Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. So how is that personnel going to come together and respond?
Completely revamped secondary.
So two huge questions on both sides of the football for the Eagles.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Chris, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You can chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat as well. We will go back to the lines. We've got Mike in Plainview, New York. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well, Mike. What you got?
Good. I was just wondering your thoughts on the potential of bringing Brandon Jacobs back on a minimum deal, because I've heard Justin Tuck mention it once, and I've heard some rumors. So I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that the Giants certainly will look to explore all options. I mean, there's nothing definitive regarding that. He has familiarity with the system. I mean, the Giants do have some depth at running back. They were able to bring back Andre Brown. And obviously, they're going to hand the reins over to David Wilson this season. So even if they were to add a third back, I'm not so sure that he would play a prominent role. It's a possibility, but at this point, it's just purely speculation whether or not they would look to bring back Brandon Jacobs.
Right. I think they could really use his fire that they've missed in the locker room over the years in the huddle. So I was just wondering about that.
All right. Well, appreciate the phone call, Mike. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513.
I hear this all the time about the fire and all that stuff, Lance. Look, all I heard about people, you know, back in 2006 and 2005, Eli Manning doesn't get excited enough. There's no fire. He doesn't, you know, whatever. Come on. Give me a break. And now all of a sudden after he wins the Super Bowl, oh, he's calm and collective. He doesn't let the pressure get to him. I mean, this fire stuff, what, you don't think the guys are excited to go out there and play on Sunday? You think that's why they could have won the last two regular season games last year? Because there was no one in there firing up in the huddle? Come on now.
It seems ever since Antonio Pierce left this team, the biggest question surrounding the Giants has been, why are they missing a vocal leader or a presence in the locker room? And we seem to bring this question up time and time again.
But they have him. I mean, Antro Roll's a vocal leader. Eli Manning's a vocal leader on offense. Maybe not in that demonstrative way people might not like. But this whole, you know, you need fire to get these guys motivated to play. I mean, I think it's one of the most overrated things. It's an easy thing to talk about, but I think it's very, very overrated.
So the Giants certainly will continue to explore their options as they continue to round out the roster. But we're going to move our attention to a player currently on the roster as the start of the offseason workout program kicks off today. And we're now joined by Giants veteran corner Corey Webster. Corey, appreciate the time. How's everything?
Everything's great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem, Corey. What is it like seeing a lot of new faces in the locker room this morning, huh? A lot of turnover year to year in the NFL.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's part of the business. But it's great to be back. Great to see the new faces. Everybody looks like they're ready to get moving forward so we can start something great this year.
And one of the new faces, but it's basically a familiar face, Aaron Ross is back, a player that you've worked with over the years. What's it like having him back in the mix in the secondary?
I just think it's like it's bringing a family member back. We're going to pick up where we left off. I think we left off on good terms with him, and hopefully we can get back to those type of playing abilities and moving forward with the team need helping us.
Now, you never went during the season, Corey, to use injuries as an excuse, but how much did the hamstring and the hand and the other myriad of things that nobody knows about affect your play during the season last year?
You're absolutely right. We never want to make excuses. You know, we line up, we get out there. You know, we 110 once you get on the field. But, you know, having one hand for part of the season is tough. But we may do. I think this year, you know, hopefully we can stay healthy, move along, and do some great things.
And, Corey, with that being said, how are you feeling right now entering this workout program?
I'm great, healthy, been down at LSU, getting my training, getting my body back to where I need to be, so I'm ready to go.
I'm sure you've heard some of the rumblings what some people have said in the offseason. Are you extra motivated coming in this year, trying to have a bounce-back Corey Webster type of year?
Well, I'm always motivated. It doesn't take anything to happen bad. You know, I like to be self-motivated.
Right.
But I'm always trying to get better. It's either you're getting better or you're worse. You're never staying the same. So it's a new year. Extra motivated. I don't know if I would say that, but we are motivated to be better than we was last year and be a better player than I was year-round.
And, Corey, as a veteran player, obviously you look to mentor some of the young guys on this team. Prince Amukamara has had a couple of years under his belt. What did you see out of him last season, and what are the expectations now entering this year?
You know, we just wanted to get him out there on the field healthy so he could give us a better chance of winning, give us more depth at the DB. But he did a lot of great things last year. He's a very smart kid. I think he's ready to move in the right direction and follow some of our leads. And I think he'll be okay this year to help us.
Well, Corey, we have some fans chomping at the bit that want to ask you questions. This is an interactive show, so you mind if we get some feedback from the fans here?
Not at all.
Giants.com. All right, great. We'll open up the lines, and we start with Carlos in Virginia. Carlos, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff. Lance Meadow, John Schmelk, and Giants corner Corey Webster. What you got?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Carlos? Go ahead, sir.
I have a question. I actually was about the running back situation. How effective will David Wilson be being the number one back now that Ahmad Bradshaw is gone?
You know, funny, I want to get your take on this, Corey, because obviously you saw David Wilson do this as a kick returner last year. Do you think you've seen all sorts of different types of NFL running backs come through and be successful in the league? Can David Wilson, as a primary running back with his body type, physicality, speed, quickness, et cetera, be effective as a number one running back in the NFL?
I sure think he can. I think he brings a lot different to the table. I think he can catch the ball in the backfield really well. I think he doesn't require a whole lot of blocking. I think he can bring his own blocker with him. But, you know, by committee, most people have two and three running backs that's doing different jobs. So I think he brings a different pace to the game. I think he'd be well handling that position.
Moving into this year as a defense as a whole, and I know a lot of guys have talked about trying to be a little bit more consistent, what can you guys do at this time of year when you're really sinking your teeth into the playbook for the first time, getting in here, getting to know your teammates, working out, getting in shape, to try to be a more consistent football team on the field in 2013?
I think going over our mistakes and what we did last year, watching film, I think that gets you acclimated and it helps the guys that wasn't there last year get caught up faster. I think a lot of film work, a lot of studying on and off the water board or the chalkboard, so say, and just getting to know each other, hanging together on and off the field, working out with each other in the weight room. That helps team camaraderie, and that makes you more consistent on the field.
Talking with Giants corner Corey Webster. Corey, a lot of these so-called experts and fans try to play, you know, X's and O's with the system last season and saying, well, the pass rush was a bit inconsistent, and that may have contributed to the ups and downs of the defense. From your perspective, you're out there on the field. What does a pass rush do for you as a corner?
It works hand in hand. You know, I mean, you show somebody a good defensive end, you're going to show somebody a good defensive corner, a good secondary. It goes hand in hand. So we was inconsistent all over the field last year. So it's going to take everybody stepping up and being more consistent, players, coaches, going to the drawing board, you know, giving us a scheme that we can work with, players trusting in that scheme. So as long as everybody, I think, we here working together, I think we'll be much better off this upcoming season.
I want to ask you about a couple of your young corners, Prince Amukamara heading into year number three, Jerron Holsley heading into his second season. Do you think we're going to see big breakout performances from those two guys this year?
Yes, I think a year under their belt, meaning Jerron. Prince have a lot more experience than he had in the previous couple of years.
I mean, last year was really Prince's rookie year in a lot of ways, wasn't it?
Yeah, we gave him a tough time about that. So, you know, but those guys having a little more experience under their belt, knowing what's expected of them, I think they'll bring a lot of attention to the game and be able to be more consistent, more healthy, being on the field more often.
Now, Stevie Brown had 8 interceptions last season. Are you already giving him some trouble to maybe get about 9 this season? What does he bring to the table?
Right. Like I said, you're either getting better or you're worse. You never staying the same. So we're giving him a little trouble. We want 9, 10, maybe double digits. but he brings he finds the ball in the air. He's out. Most of the time he was in the post, he's out back in. So he did a great job of doing that, fielding the balls, being out center field, just directing traffic. And hopefully he can – another guy that was, you know, only a year under his belt, so he's going to be more comfortable with us and, you know, making the play calls, making adjustments and moving on and so forth.
You know, it's funny. Some guys – and it comes and goes for years. You know this, Corey. You've been back there before where you're just a ball magnet. The ball just happens to come your way and come to you when you're in the right position. Other plays, you can make the perfect play. Quarterback might just throw it over your head. He makes a bad throw. Nothing to do with you. Everything just worked well for Stevie last year in terms of being in the right place at the right time.
Yep, right place, right time. Sometimes you play with good skills, good luck will happen.
Yeah.
So, a lot of times he was in the perfect position. Ball hit him right in the head.
Corey, we also have some fans interacting with us on Twitter, and this is actually related to a lot of the rule changes that went into effect this year. What are your thoughts on this new helmet rule with respect to the running backs, how that could impact your play from a defensive perspective?
I think the league has done a great job of making different rule changes, and I think they're all making them for the right reasons, you know, for the safety of the player. So a lot of people don't agree with the rule, but I think it's one of our first rules for the defensive side get a thumbs up on. So I agree fully with it. But I think it's good for a running back to keep his head up, keep him safety. When you put your head down, you straighten the spine out, and that's when you have more chance of getting injured. So I think it's a great rule. I think they're going to enforce it this year, and we're going to see more rules like that for the safety of the game.
I know you follow college football a lot. What do you expect Chip Kelly's going to bring as a head coach to the NFC East? Do you think we're going to see his full-out system that he had at Oregon? Do you think he's going to adjust a little bit? What do you think?
I'm not sure. I think he adjusted a little bit. I think he don't come and bring the whole. I think he's going to take time to get acclimated to it, try to get this crossover. But eventually, I think he have more and more of it as we go on.
The fact that the Eagles probably are going to bring something different to the table from an offensive perspective, how much of a benefit was it to go up against the Redskins twice last year since they're probably going to have similar systems?
I think that was a head start, even playing Carolina with the Cam Newton as well. So
yeah.
I think that's a good start. We get to, you know, review that film. And also probably, you know, when we face them twice a year, we're going to have to review some of the film that they did at Oregon and see, you know, some of the plays, you know, how the offensive scheme was ran. So we get a head start on that.
Well, let me ask you, one of the things that people talk about with Chip Kelly in Oregon is how fast they play. You know, they have the lowest amount of time between plays on any level, high school, college, NFL, whatever. How does that affect the defense when you have the offense running that in the huddle and doing it so quickly?
Well, that keeps them on their toes. You can't substitute as quickly as you like. It takes a defensive coordinator. He has to get the plays out there. He has to see the schemes that he wants to run and get it out there to the players. So that takes a little time. But in NFL, those offensive linemen got to move just as fast as the defensive linemen. So I think we get a little more time to get adjusted and set up.
Does it hurt the communication sometimes when you guys have to make some reads in the secondary in terms of coverages?
If you're already not communicating well, it does. Because now you have to spit it out fast. And sometimes, you know, people second-guessing themselves and so on and so forth. But we just have to be a well-communicated team, and hopefully that'll help us stop all that miscommunication.
The team brought in a lot of new defensive faces to help bolster the secondary as well as the defensive line. What is the key in terms of bringing everybody together over the course of this offseason?
I think that's the thing, us getting in the film room, studying together, D-line studying on their own for a while, linebacker studying on their own, secondary doing the same, and at times getting together and seeing what we did wrong last year, going over it and being honest with ourselves, just using it for constructive criticism and moving forward, and I think that'll help us a lot.
Does Perry Fuel need to make huge changes in your mind, or is it really just come down to a few tweaks here and there?
We need to make some changes. I'm not sure what he's going to do, or I'm not making the plays, but we need to make some changes to correct the mistakes that we did last year. And like I said, you're either getting better or you get worse. You can't stay the same, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's insanity. So we want to get better, and I think he wants to get better as well. So I think we'll be, you know, working hard to do that.
Another question in from Corey coming in from James in Texas. James, good morning. How are you, pal?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
Doing well, James.
All right. Well, I just was curious. I wanted to ask Corey, what kind of year does he anticipate from himself as well as the Giants secondary?
I anticipate a great year. We're working very hard, and hopefully that shows throughout our game time. We in here right now. Today was our first day. Everybody's in here. We saw a lot of new faces, but the introduction was great. Everybody wants to get better and wants to get that taste out of last season out of our mouth. And I think we'll be working hard to do that.
Let's go to our next caller, our final caller for Corey, Mike in Richmond, Virginia. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning.
Great morning, Mike.
Hey, Corey, I've been pulling for you on the show, buddy. So,
yes, sir.
Hey, just wanted to ask you, what do you think the performance of Keenan Nuke is going to be this year now that, you know, we're having some changes on the defensive line? And then the second part of that question, do you think his, you know, the Giants' expectation of him is going to impact the draft?
I'm not sure in the second part of that question, but I know Mathias Kiwanuka is outstanding talent, and wherever he plays, whether it's linebacker, whether it's DN, whether it's inside, he's going to do a tremendous job. He's a hard worker. He's a very smart guy, and he brings a lot to the table. I love having him on the field with me as well.
You know, two guys that I think similarly are very unselfish and help the team that way. Kiwi is one. Anchorol is another. Mm-hmm. He plays safety. He plays slot corner. Really, isn't that big nickel? He's also playing linebacker if the other team's running the football.
Exactly.
I mean, what does it do when you have two guys like that on the defense that could do so many different things and really whatever's best for the team?
I think you have to find out how to use those guys. Those guys, because they're so talented and they help the team wherever they want. They take the hat off. It doesn't matter. It's not about them. Two very humble guys, but will help us in any way. And I'd say we got to learn how to use them and use them well because they do a lot of things great.
And Jaquan Williams, probably another guy who brings tremendous versatility to the table as well. Let's try to fill in one more phone call here. We've got Dave in Rochester. Dave, welcome to the program. What you got?
Fellas, good morning. Corey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Great.
I was just wondering, hey, man, you and Antro Lowell are the leaders of the defense, leaders of the backfield. I was just wondering, did you guys get together this offseason and maybe hang out and just talk about this past year and talk about what you might want to do in the future? Do you guys kind of hang out together and do stuff like that?
All the time. We always together. When I'm in Miami, I take a trip to Miami at least once or twice a year, and I'm always bothering and picking at him. We like brothers. And when we up here in the offseason, we together all the time, bugging each other. But, yes, we do. We as much as we can hang together off the field, that makes the camaraderie on the field just as better. And as you said, being the leaders, the younger guys look up to that and see how we bring them along. So we'll be looking forward to doing that with the new guys that we have in this year.
Final question for me, and I know you guys got Aaron Ross back, so you got one of your group back, but you also lost one of your group in Kenny Phillips. You guys really tight on that. You had a few lockers in a row on that side of the locker room. How tough it is to see Kenny leave, and not only leave, but go to the Eagles.
Yeah, it's tough, you know what I mean? But it's a part of the business. We understand it. But, yep, just like you say, it's one of our brothers, me, Kenny, Antrell, we all there every day together. He's a part of them same trips when I'm down here in Miami. So, yes, it's tough to see him in green, but I wish him all the best, just not when he plays against us.
Well, Corey, really greatly appreciate the time. Thanks so much for stopping by and talking to the fans.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Giants corner Corey Webster joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live this morning. As the players are returning to the facility for the start of the conditioning program, and we will continue to bring you some feedback from the players throughout the course of the week, as the draft is also upcoming next week. It kicks off Thursday with round number one, but Corey Webster certainly excited about being back into the fold and was kind enough to give his perspective on how the team finished out last season.
I think he was just excited to see Lance Meadow.
Well, that goes without saying.
He's been hearing the voice, and now he's like, I get to meet this guy in person. He said, John, he's so tiny. I go, yeah, I know.
Well, that's that type of presence that bring. You know, I mean, it goes without saying.
Well, you have such a booming, commanding voice. People are afraid when they see it comes in a little package.
They could not start the off-season conditioning program without bringing me back into the mix. I mean, that it's as simple as that, Giants fans. They would not allow the players back in the building until you allowed me to return here this morning. So now that we've worked out all those kinks, it's back to normal. Everything's falling into place. There's no more issues.
Well, I have to go run back to the locker room in just a second. But before I do, real quick, first two rounds, and I want to just specify which round. What position will the Giants take in the first? I'm not asking for player, just position. First round and second round. What do you think?
I think they'll go offensive lineman in the first round.
Really? Okay. I disagree. That's fine, though. I think offensive lineman round two.
I think the right tackle position, or even just adding depth overall on the offensive line, to me, is the most glaring need right now. I know linebacker, too, but the fact that they brought in Dan Connor gives them a little bit of a wiggle room. If maybe a linebacker falls to them and they feel they can get them in the second round, I could see them taking a chance there. Whereas the depth at the offensive line, to me, falls off a little bit more once you get past the first round.
That's fair.
But linebacker, offensive lineman, to me, is the order. I see first-round O-line and second-round linebacker if they feel they can get a good talent at that
point. I would not be shocked if you see a defensive lineman in one of the first two rounds, too. I could see a D-end or a D-tackle.
Well, that's been the trend lately, so it would not surprise me either, specifically in past drafts where they've went in that DE spot. And it's paid off because it gives them some mobility on the line. And look at Kiwanuka, for example, this year, who's now going to have to return to his normal spot because OCU Mignore is not in the mix anymore. So that pick has not necessarily hurt them in years prior. I just feel there's two areas to me on this team compared to maybe previous years where you can say you have the potential to draft a guy, insert him immediately, and perhaps make an impact.
By the way, was our man Mike in Richmond, Virginia, was that Mike Farmer from Twitter?
That's a good question. I do not know if Mike Farmer is from Richmond, Virginia.
I'm guessing that's him.
Well, Mike Farmer did chime in with a Twitter question, which I think Corey Webster did address with regarding Hosley and Prince Amukamara. Hmm. We know Dave from Rochester. There's no question who that was.
Well, obviously, Dave's Dave.
There we go.
He's been calling in with his, like, the Tino comments.
I have not spoken to my sources whether or not Mike Farmer is from Richmond, Virginia. If Mike wants to answer that question on Twitter, he's more than welcome.
He's probably, Corey's done. He probably turned us off already. Let's be honest.
It's possible. Well, once he heard you after you know, asking multiple questions to Corey Webster, he knew the show was going to go downhill from there.
Wow.
So,
that's a shot.
Well, you know, we got to get back into the mid-season form here.
Well, I thought we did it. I think we did a good every other question pattern.
Oh,
I thought it was
smooth.
Very solid.
Absolutely. I think Corey enjoyed it too.
Yeah, he seemed to have a good time. And, you know, I think it's funny. Corey didn't address it directly, and he's never one to make excuses, but you could tell by the way he answered the question that he was not himself last year because of the injuries.
And as you preface the question, John, they're not going to jump out and say that the injury was a huge reason why they didn't play, because I think every player realizes in the NFL you've got to fight through those things. But when you take into consideration a cornerback with a hand injury and
a hamstring,
I mean, those are two imperative parts of the body that you need to function as a corner.
So let's see, I can't run and I can't catch.
But I'm going to go out there.
That's a problem.
You know, I mean, you don't have to be a dummy to understand what he was dealing with last year. And it was across the board. It wasn't just Corey Webster. I know it's easy to pinpoint it on one player, but Giants fans know. They had numerous injuries on the defensive front. It led to mixing and matching players for Perry Fuel. And in the end, sometimes if everybody's not on the same page, you get, unfortunately, the results that played out in the final few weeks. But that's why we now can look forward to 2013. They've already handed out the Lombardi Trophy, and there's a lot to look forward to here in Giants camp, given the fact that there's a lot of new faces. And with some new faces, that means you're going to have some new talent infused on this roster, and that's not a bad thing.
And he talked about how the defense has to get better, and it's a matter of the guys playing better, maybe a slight adjustment to the scheme, but the defense has to perform better. And there's no question, when you're ranked 32nd, 31st in yards per game, I know they're only 15th or 16th in points. That's great. But as Corey and I kind of joked about, you know, Stevie Brown, sometimes the ball just goes to you a lot of times. You know, turnovers a lot of times. You can force turnovers, and that's certainly a part of it. But some of turnovers is luck, too. And as we talked about, when the Giants didn't get turnovers last year in games, what happened? They gave up a ton of points. So the defense does need to get better, and it starts with the secondary, and it also starts with the pass rush.
And who knows? Maybe there will be a new Stevie Brown on this team, because you mentioned that interceptions and turnovers come in batches sometimes.
Ryan Mundy, perhaps.
Maybe he could be the guy to have the breakout year or the turning point for this team.
Maybe Roll will have a big – he hasn't had a big pick year since he's come here. He's been – excellent, don't get me wrong, but he hasn't had a big interception year.
And with regard to Roll, with a healthy secondary, John, perhaps they don't have to move him around so much, and he could go back to a regular spot where he can make a true impact on this team in one area as opposed to doing it in multiple places. All right, we're going to let you, I guess, return to the locker
room. I'm going to try to run back to the locker room here.
Yes, with some of the new faces as we will wrap up the show shortly here on Giants.com. But we'll continue to take your phone calls, and you can chime in on Twitter. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. As we mentioned, a very busy day here at the Timex Center as a handful of players returning to the facility for the start of the off-season program. And we'll immediately go back to the lines. And I believe This is our very good friend, who I have not spoken to in quite some time, Victor in Texas. Victor, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing well, Victor. What you got?
Well, you know what? I'm really puzzled this year about what the Giants are going to do. But I do agree with what you said as far as the linebacker. If there's an offensive lineman I see in the draft that they could actually look at, you know, Womack or Fluker maybe slipping down is highly unlikely. But it could either go either way, you know, linebacker. But as far as, you know, the Giants this year, I'm kind of puzzled. Like I said, I've been out of the loop. But, you know, definitely we need to improve on the back end. I don't know how healthy T2 is going to come back. I think if he comes back and he's able to at least regain at least 85% of what he used to bring to the table, I think that'll solidify that back end. You know, you got Prince back there, you got Stevie Brown, and you got C. Webb, you know, getting a little rest, coming back from injuries. And, you know, Jerron Hosley. I think if we shore up that back end, it'll help out our pass rush. And putting Kiwi back in his spot and drafting a linebacker, you know, definitely it'll give the Giants a pass rush a boost. If you give that pass rush a little bit more time, you know, we are getting up there in age. You know, you do have Kiwi and you do have Tuck who's getting up there. But JPP, I think if he needs to have another breakout year. I think teams have schemed enough for him, and he needs to come up with a different repertoire of moves for him to actually become more effective. And definitely the offensive line and the running game. I think what you said about Wilson, he's a dynamic running back. But can he carry the load? I mean, is he that Ahmad Bradshaw type that's going to play hurt? You know, he hasn't had that injury yet. I don't wish it on him, but, you know, how fast can he come back from that? Is there somebody that's going to be able to solidify that starting running back position for the New York Giants? And, you know, wide receiver. Definitely want Nicks to come back healthy. And we got to have that third guy. I mean, we haven't had that third guy since Steve Smith, you know, Mario Manningham type guy. So I'm looking for that person to emerge too. And definitely Eli this year. Actually, you know, I want him to cut down some interceptions. So.
Well, Victor, speaking of the third wide receiver, Reuben Randall, I think, showed a lot of promise late in the year, and then they signed Lewis Murphy, the former Raider and the former Panthers. So there are viable options that I think they could turn to, and even some competition for that third spot, despite the fact that they lost a valuable guy like a Dominic Hickson.
Well, definitely. I mean, Lewis Murphy definitely coming out of a program as the Raiders. He's looking to actually prove himself there because he was supposed to be, you know, the breakout wide receiver. And Reuben Randall, you know, he had spots where he actually, you know, he showed some flashes. But it's almost like I'm not knocking him, maybe because he didn't have his chances, but it's almost like a Ramsey's Barden type. You know, we'll see when the OTAs come in preseason where that third wide receiver is going to emerge because, you know, we signed a new tight end from Oakland. I mean, I love the fact. He reminds me of a Jason Witten type, Kevin Boss type. You know, he's not overly fast, but he does get open and he can catch the ball. We haven't had that threat, that tight end threat, since, you know, Jeremy Shockey type, you know, that really, really hardcore type tight end. So if we don't get that production in that area, we definitely need to have that third wide receiver come in and show him what Eli can do when he has a full complement of receivers, tight ends.
All right, Victor, thanks so much for the call. Good to hear from you. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. You guys have a great day. Love the show.
You as well, Victor. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. And Victor threw out a couple of things that I just want to expand upon. In terms of the secondary, that the players certainly in the mix this year, you want more consistency out of that group. And Corey Webster touched on this, and that's why I asked him the question, because you heard all throughout last season, without a pass rush, it's hard to get consistency from the secondary, and you hear it from a lot of experts, you hear it from a lot of talking heads, but it's one thing for the so-called experts to say it, it's a whole other thing to hear it directly from the cornerback, and he explained what a pass rush does for him as a corner. They go hand in hand. If you're not getting consistent pressure on the quarterback, the secondary players are really left out on their own island. And I think with the added depth that they have this year, there are many options that Perry Fuel can turn to. Because remember, another name that Victor didn't touch upon is Aaron Ross, who knows the system. So you bring him back into the mix. You have the youth movement with Hosley and Amukamara, and you have what they're hoping for to be a fully healthy Corey Webster. So you have a nice nucleus of four corners there. Then when you turn to the safety, you have Stevie Brown coming off a breakout campaign. Antrel Roll, very versatile, and they brought in Ryan Mundy, the former Steeler, as another guy that they can turn to. So there are multiple options right now. Now, granted, they had multiple options heading into training camp last year. Unfortunately, a lot of the corners got hurt. And then the other name that Victor touched upon was Terrell Thomas. Now, Terrell Thomas coming off of the knee injury, as long as he can stay healthy, he could also be somebody else that knows the system and can give them some added depth, which is not necessarily a bad thing to have, even if he's at 85 or 90%. Right now, Terrell Thomas's goal this offseason is to get his legs back underneath him and become a productive player once again. It's been a very long journey for Terrell Thomas. If they can get back him in the mix, that's certainly going to give them a boost. And with respect to Jason Pierre-Paul, who had issues in terms of facing multiple double teams last year, with Kiwanuka now coming to the line, perhaps that could give the opposition some different looks, because Kiwanuka was playing a lot of linebacker last year. Maybe that could open things up for JPP. But a lot of it will also be determined on what will Jason Pierre-Paul bring to the table this year in terms of digging deep into his own bag of tricks and being able to use some spin moves or really get through two defenders. Because clearly, after his breakout year, he got more attention thrown his way. Was that a surprise? Absolutely not. That's the way the NFL operates. You have an impact player, offensive line, running backs, they're going to look to chop block him. They're going to look to take him out of the equation. So if they bring that to the table again this year, perhaps that's going to open up opportunities for Kiwanuka on the opposite side. Or perhaps that will open up opportunities for some of the new defensive linemen. They've got to work hand in hand, but as individuals, they need to add to their arsenal of moves so that they can win those individual battles. Let's check out Twitter to see if we can answer a couple of your questions before we close out the show here. A couple of minutes remaining on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hashtag Giants Chat is the way to chime in on the conversations. You can also interact with me directly at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Want to hear your thoughts on the New York Giants as they start their off-season workout program today in terms of the players returning. And we actually have an additional phone call. So before we throw out some of your comments on Twitter, let's go back to the lines. We've got James in New Jersey. James, welcome to the program. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going today?
Doing well, James. What you got?
One question. Did Victor Cruz show up to camp today?
Well, Victor Cruz right now, certainly there's a lot of speculation regarding the contract situation, but I'm not at liberty to say who's here and who's not right now regarding the Giants. The bottom line is they are still trying to hammer out a contract. That is the latest with respect to Victor Cruz. That's where it currently stands with the team.
Okay. Now, another question. In your opinion, Giants' 19th pick, you have Warner drop down or Ogletree. Who would you take, the linebacker or the end?
In terms of the choice between Ogletree and who else were you throwing out there?
And the Jordan Warner?
Warner from Florida State. Okay.
Yes,
so the defensive end versus the linebacker. In terms of if the Giants have a choice between both of those players in the first round, that's the question?
Yes.
Well, Ogletree has a lot of upside. The linebacker out of Georgia, for those of you who may not be familiar with him. A tremendous athlete, can run both sides of the football field, and they feel that he has potential to be a really true impact player. To me, if I look at the roster right now, James, and I say to myself, if I'm the Giants, where is the biggest hole, the biggest need out of those two positions, I'm going to lean towards the linebacker spot. Because even though they brought in Dan Connor, due to injuries that we've seen pile up in the past, and you don't know what Herzlick is going to bring to the table this year, although he will have an opportunity certainly to compete, there is a chance that if they bring in a linebacker in the first round and he adapts to the system, digests it, he can get out there and get quick playing time. So I am going to lean towards the linebacker. Now, the defensive end from Florida State also has tremendous upside, a tremendous presence. However, I look at the depth chart right now, given what they did in free agency and the fact that they're going to move Kiwanuka down to the line. They have Ojomo. They have Tracy. I don't know if they need to go in the direction of a defensive end. So to me, if I had the choice between both, right now I would be leaning towards Ogletree because he plays at the linebacker spot.
But the depth is, you know, the draft is pretty deep this year, and I'm hoping we get a decent linebacker in the second round. And I'm hoping we can get the Warner kid because I think he's established. He's proven he can play a defensive end and even drop back in coverage as he did in Florida State.
And he may
kind of like Kiwi.
And he may actually fall to the second round. You never know. Remember, last year, Randall, a lot of people thought he was going to be a first-round pick, and the Giants were willing to take him with their first-round pick. And what a gift it was that he wound up falling to them in the second round. So they ultimately got two players that they were willing to take in the first round. You never know how the draft is going to play out. The Giants may be in position to perhaps grab both of those guys.
That would be a beautiful deal. Thank you, sir, for the call.
You got it, James. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Appreciate it, as the draft is going to be next week. And John Schmelk, who joined me earlier, was weighing in on his opinion. And he thinks the Giants could very well take a defensive tackle, defensive end. They may go towards a defensive lineman. And listen, that's happened in years past. They have not taken a linebacker in the first round since Carl Banks in 1984. That is how long it has been. Now, listen, all trends are meant to be broken. And if they feel that Ogletree or another linebacker is the top-ranked player on their board, perhaps that's the direction they're going to go in. You know, everybody looks at the Giants' needs, and they say, well, listen, if the Giants need an offensive lineman and they need a linebacker, if they get to the 19th pick and there is a top-impact player at both of those positions, the Giants should not hesitate. It doesn't always work out, unfortunately, that way. Sometimes the Giants feel there's a defensive end that has the most athletic ability, the most agility, the most versatility out there. So they're not going to sacrifice passing up on this player. They're going to bring him into the fold. They'll add him to the depth chart, and perhaps he has the ability to play multiple positions. That's how the Giants have approached the draft in the past, and I don't think the philosophy is going to change overnight heading into this year's draft. But there are clearly some areas that you could say the Giants could use an impact player. Linebacker, as James just touched on, is one of them. And to me, the offensive line. I think that they can use some extra depth. It's not necessarily that they need a starter to come in right from the start. I think they did a good job re-signing Booth and re-signing Beattie. That was priority number one. So you have some continuity with the O-line. The last thing you want to do is mix and match players, and then they have to learn about one another through the first couple of weeks of the season and the blocking schemes and everything else, and then all of a sudden, game one, you're throwing these guys into the fire. That's not going to happen this year. They have the depth. They have the players that they can turn to. So that is certainly an area that they want to add. Maybe another player or two to have a swing tackle, for example, like the role that Sean Locklear played last year. That would be good to have in the mix if they can bring a type of player like that in. Let's, before we close out the show here, let's just take a look at some of the Twitter comments. I want to try to address some of them before we close out Big Blue Kickoff this morning. And certainly appreciate all the phone calls that we got earlier today and Corey Webster for dropping by. As Saraceno saying, with Corey TT referring to Terrell Thomas, Prince and Ross plus the safeties, the Giants secondary will be a killer, can't wait, go Giants. And that is something that we certainly have spent a good portion of the program discussing about throughout, the fact that they have a lot of weapons this year. And Victor, who called earlier, touched on this. So, you know, the outlook heading into training camp has to be positive regarding the secondary. I know it was frustrating watching this team last year because they were dropping like flies. But they've got multiple corners, and we're not talking just rookies. And they've got multiple safeties. And once again, we're not just talking about rookies. As long as everyone stays healthy and they have a pass rush that is somewhat consistent, there is no reason why this Giants defense can't pull off a 180. And I'm not saying they're going to jump from the 31st ranked defense to number one overnight. But let's not forget a handful of the players that are still here. A handful. Not a majority anymore, but still a presence. Clicked at the right time 2 years ago to help this team win a Super Bowl. And it's not as if these players forgot how to play football overnight either. You have the pieces. It's just a matter of, can health work in your favor? And can everybody get on the same page and do it for 16 games. Time will tell. The hard work starts today as the off-season workout program gets underway, and they'll continue that hard work next week as they look to add some youth and fuse that into the mix with some of their rookies. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every morning from 10 to 10:30 during the off-season Eastern. So stay tuned for that during the course of the week. John Schmelk will try to grab some additional players to come onto the program. So it should be an exciting week as we look forward to the 2013 campaign. And as we near the draft, we'll continue to give our projections on who the Giants may take and what direction they may go with respect to that position. Certainly want to continue to hear your thoughts. A very special thanks to Corey Webster, who dropped by earlier today. Want to continue to hear your thoughts on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow for the questions that we weren't able to address throughout the course of the show. I'll try to address them in the hours after the program. So glad you could join us this morning. Thanks so much. We'll see you again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. I'm Lance Meadow saying so long.